transmitting sound. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
How you doing? And welcome to the show. And I am thrilled to tell you that hit recording artist Cece Peniston is joining us this week to talk about her amazing career in music. Cece burst onto the scene in the early 90s, and you couldn't go anywhere without hearing her hit songs like Finally, We've Got a Love Thing, Keep on Walking, and the list goes on and on. We're also joined by author Krista Dunk on how to find your calling in life, and then we wrap things up with a killer remix from Maroon 5 and Christina Aguilera, Moves Like Jagger.
Capture your need for sound.
I have to tell you that I am very excited to introduce you to my next guest, but before we actually start talking to her, I wanted to talk about her for a minute, and it's because she means a lot to me, and getting the chance to speak to her is just a dream come true. And, you know, it's funny, in my career in radio, I've had the great opportunity to interview some very interesting and amazing artists, including Lady Gaga and members of Coldplay and One Republic, Leona Lewis, Mel C of the Spice Girls. But this next lady just, you know, has been an inspiration to me for many years. And I think that part of the reason why I'm so excited to chat with her is because I started listening to her when I was a teenager. And obviously that's a very sort of impressionable age to be listening to music. And I just loved her music back then. I thought it was fantastic. It was great to dance to. And it was just such a positive message. And I remember even way back then that, you know, I always had hopes to be in radio. And one of my hopes was to actually get the chance to either meet her one day or to interview her one day. And so it gives me great pleasure to welcome Cece Peniston to the show. And, you know, this lady has done so much in the music industry. When she burst onto the scene in 1991, her hit song Finally went all the way to the top of the charts. And then her album was released not too long after, which also spawned some more hit singles, including We've Got a Love Thing and Keep on Walking. And she just hasn't stopped since. So many things that have happened to her, great awards that she's won as well, not to mention performing at the highest levels, including singing for President Bill Clinton during his inauguration. So it gives me great pleasure, and it's an honor and a treat to speak to the one and only Cece Peniston. Cece, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you.
Cece, now, did you want to be a recording artist as a kid, or did life sort of just head you in that direction as you started to get in towards adulthood?
No, I knew, you know, when I was younger. In fact, I can remember coming in the house at my grandmother's and being like, Grandma, I said, I'm gonna be famous one day. And she didn't believe me. She was like, okay, baby, okay. You know, they'd be like, go outside and play. And so, like, I knew my destiny as a young child. You know what I mean? I always loved to sing. Whenever I had the mic in my hand, that was, like, the happiest moment for me.
And can you tell us the story behind how you sort of burst onto the scene with, you know, your hit song Finally in late 91? Because I don't know if a lot of us were wondering, was it a long road for you to get to that point?
You know what happened? I was actually in Arizona doing a lot of, like, singing around in the valley, and there was a producer by the name of Felipe Delgado who heard me sing, and he was working on another project with somebody else, and he was like, hey, I would love for you to come do these background vocals. And so that's how, you know, everything kind of came together. Well, the record company heard it. They loved the background vocals. They were like, well, we would love for you to do your own song. In the midst of that, I had started writing poetry. And so I was like, well, I have this song. I think it's a poem, but I know I could make it into a song I think you guys will love, which is now known as Finally Today. And so that's how it all came about.
Can you tell us what it was like to be in the eye of the storm? Because it seemed to us like when Finally actually, you know, hit the radio and hit the clubs, it just blew up so quickly. Were you prepared for, I guess, the sudden demands on your time and all the attention?
Absolutely not. You know what? It was all so surreal. It's like I was this kid from Arizona, 21 years old, had never traveled the world like to that degree. You know, been to Disneyland and all those things like as a kid, but not like really traveled the world. And then all of a sudden it was like, you have a hit, you're getting ready to go to London. That was like my very first trip. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? They're like, yeah. So it was just like very overwhelming, but it was like something I had waited for like all my life. So it was like, wow, my dream came true. So it was, yeah, it was surreal, but it was a lot to handle at the time. Sometimes I would be in the bed laying down. I'd be like, on a radio interview, and I'd be like, they'd be like, so where'd you just come from? And I look at my people and be like, where did we just come from? Because I couldn't remember because I was so tired, like, all the time. But it was worth it.
Can you set the record straight as well? Because I heard that when Finally actually, you know, was racing up to the top of the charts, that you didn't have a full-length album ready to support it. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Okay. We were not prepared at all. In fact, Finally's album was done in 3 months. And it was done in between, like, when I had, like, a show, I would have, like, a day off. That's when I would go in the studio, and I finished up the whole album, like, in between me doing my traveling.
Wow. And because you were doing so much traveling, did you have, you know, a lot to do with the actual production and concept of it? Or were you just so busy traveling that you were just trying to let your team handle a lot of it?
No, it was like when I listen to music, I have to really like it, because if I don't like it, I'm not going to do it justice. You know, if you don't sing something that you like, or, you know, that's like having some food you don't like. You'd be like, I'm not eating that. You know, so like a lot of the marketing and stuff like that, they tried to do their best to like let me see pictures and stuff like that. But there were some things that I didn't make decisions on, only because I wasn't right there. But on the music part of stuff that I had to sing, oh, yeah, I was definitely involved in it, because I have to like it to give you my all.
And with regards to some of those singles off that first album, like Finally, obviously, everyone knows that one, We Got a Love Thing and Keep On Walking. Now, Keep On Walking was so different from the other two, and it was so much fun and funky. What did you like, or how did you feel when that song sort of came to you?
Oh, I love that song, and only because, like, right away, I saw, like, the message. It was so visual to me. I was like, wow, this song is so visual. You could actually see, like, it play out in your head. And that's the one thing I really loved about it. It was like a woman's anthem for all my girls. And I like the fact of the attitude that I had to have behind it. It was a challenge to get the attitude behind the song. And that's what I loved about it most.
With regards to the video for Keep On Walking, it looked like you were having so much fun in that video. Do you enjoy the video making process, or was it difficult because you were so busy?
You know what? There's some videos that you do that you're like, oh, I don't want to put no more makeup on. Leave my hair alone. But then there's other stuff, other videos like Keep On Walking, where I really had a good time. What you saw of me on the stage was me. It was in actuality. It was me having a great time and enjoying what I was doing.
Joining us,
it didn't feel like work. You know what I mean?
Joining us on the show right now is award-winning recording artist Cece Peniston. Make sure you check her out at www.ccepeniston.com. Cece, I guess I have to ask you if the early 90s were like a complete blur for you, because you were traveling and performing so much. And I guess a question for you, because I've heard this about other artists who, you know, had success come and it was just so much at one time. Did you actually get to enjoy the ride, or were you just so tired?
You know what? I got to enjoy the ride some, but a lot of it is a blur, because lots of times you're going from one city to the next. You get in, you might have like radio or TV interviews, or you might have magazine interviews. You get a chance to take a nap. You have your performance. You do the meet and greet. After that, boom, you're on to the next city. So I really didn't have a chance to totally enjoy everything. I missed my family a lot. So for me, it was like very busy. It's funny because now at this point in time, I'm enjoying everything even more than before, because I come in like the day before, you know, I get to kind of see the city, I get to chill out, hang out with my friends, have the performance. So it makes it nice for me. So when you're like touring, it is very, it's a lot, it's real tedious.
Did you feel a lot of pressure to succeed with your second album, 1994's Thought You Knew, because, you know, you'd had so much success with Finally?
At the time, I didn't see it as that, but now that I look back, I can say yes, only because it's like, okay, you got to have a song like this, and you got to have a song like that. You know, it's like you're trying to build something that happened, like, in its rawness. Finally happened in its rawness. We didn't have to try to do it. It just happened. It was organic. And the second album, it's like you're trying to find these songs that just, like, work. So, yeah, it was a bit of a challenge, and I think right now, at this very moment in my life, I'm back to the rawness of what feels good. So, you know, I did feel pressure.
And when you released, you know, 1996's I'm Moving On, it was, you know, way more R&B than your two previous albums. Was that like a conscious decision to sort of lean away from your dance roots for a bit? And did you have, you know, sort of fun experimenting with this other side of you?
Yes, it was conscious, only because, you know what, I was like, well, let me try something different. It's not like people haven't heard the R&B side of me. We Keep On Walking and some of the other songs I did, You Win, I Win, We Lose, on my first album. So I just wanted to try something different, and music was kind of going in that vein anyway. But I think the lack of marketing and people like probably used to hearing me doing just straight up a lot of dance, like up tempo stuff. This stuff was more mid tempo. It probably was a little bit different for people. But it was like, yeah, I just had to get it out of my system.
Well, you looked good and you sounded great. So good for you.
Thank you.
And you know what? You have this amazing voice, but you know, you also have written or at least co-written a bunch of your songs. Do you enjoy the process of writing lyrics and writing your songs, or is it a bit of a tenuous process for you?
It depends. Like, I went through a phase where it's like I could write songs like right away. And then I had a writer's block and it would just piss me off because I was like, why can't I would go to write a song and I'd be like, got my pen to the paper. I'm so frustrated and nothing else would come out. It was like I had a writer's block and I would get so frustrated. So when I was going through that phase in my life, it was kind of like, I'm like, I don't understand. I was getting irritated with that. But then now I think I was overthinking it and overanalyzing. And so now I'm back to just being more creative and it just kind of comes to me better, which is what happened with Stupid.
And I can't wait to talk about your new project, but I have to ask you something because I know we're sort of into the summer now. And I know that, you know, you and some other dance artists like Crystal Waters and Martha Wash, you know, you have this amazing gay following. And I know that you perform quite a bit at Pride events around the world. What do your gay fans mean to you?
A whole lot. I can't even tell you like the support and love that I've gotten from the gay community. I mean, like 80% of the shows I do are gay. And just to look out in the audience and see, I call them my good girlfriends out in the audience, you know, giving me a lot of love. It's just like, it's always a party, even from the dress too. I've learned so much about myself through my good girlfriends. I mean, my good girlfriends taught me how to do makeup. They taught me how to do hair. It's like, I can stand on my own and do my own hair and makeup for like different events now. Whereas before, girl, I was putting on eyebrow pencil and lipstick with no liner. I did not have it together. Didn't know how to shade an eye or a lash. So it's like I've learned so much from my good girlfriend. So if they mean, I mean, my gay community, my gay fans mean the world to me.
You know, I wanted to ask you this as well, because it seems like, you know, you and Crystal and Martha and a bunch of these other artists, Lady Miss Keir, it's like you're a bit of a traveling circus. I know when you're doing these Pride events. Are you friends with like Crystal Waters and Martha? Like, do you guys all support each other? Because I know you're just at so many of these events together.
Yeah, you know what? I'm closer to like Robin S and like Thea Austin. But yeah, I know Crystal. We've talked on several occasions. She's cool people, and so is Martha. But I've hung out more with like Robin and Thea.
Okay.
Those are my girlfriends in the industry.
And, you know, and speaking of these other amazing dance artists and stuff, if you had your pick of doing a duet with any artist, whether it be your sort of fellow compatriots in the dance scene or anyone else, who do you look up to musically?
In the dance scene, I would say definitely I think me and Robin S would be great as far as like duet, because it'd be very unexpected from people, because, you know, there was back in the day, they didn't think me and Robin liked each other. I was like, that's my girl. That's my chick for real. But if I had to pick somebody now that I love, I've always loved Patti LaBelle. Loved her since I was a little girl. I love, as far as new artists, I love Music Soulchild, Jasmine Sullivan, Charlie Wilson. Older artists, I love SWV. I love, I have so many. Mint Condition.
Wow, that's awesome.
I could keep going and going, but I like a wide variety of music. Hector Lavoe, I love salsa music, yeah.
Okay, and I have to ask you as well, you know, you've had such success with your music, and I know that remixers have sort of, I guess, been a part of that success because of, you know, several remixes of your song. I have a bunch on vinyl. What do, you know, Steve Silcurly and Manny Lehman and all these other guys that have worked with you mean to you as well?
They mean, like, the start. The beginning for me. It was like the start and the beginning of the whole project. It's like those are the people that pushed me. Those were the people that taught me, that had my back. So for me, it's like when I think of the era of like 91, those are the people that always come to mind for me.
You know, in between your albums and touring all around the world, I know that you actually did some work in theater. Did you actually enjoy being on stage as an actress?
You know what? I like doing like movies more. The play thing, I mean, it's cool, but it's like you have to rely on, it's like it's always changing. The experience that I had is that it was like changing every night. I'm like, can I get in the groove, please? Is the person going to be dying tonight? Are they going to be living? Are they, you know, is the person going to be mad? Are they going to be sad tonight? I couldn't, like, it was hard to get in a groove. And I think some of that was, for me, I wasn't willing to be more open. And I think now, like, if they did, I'll be like, okay, cool, let's go with it. They're doing what tonight? Okay, it gives me a chance to do something different. But at that point in time, I don't think I was, like, open to do different things. So it could have been part of my own thing, my own personal thing, if I must say. But I really love the movie process.
And do you intend to do more of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And absolutely. I love it. In fact, I do voiceovers. I do, like, voices, like little kids' voices. I do Marge Simpson. I do Betty Boop. I do all kind of, like, voices. And that's something I want to do more of.
That's fantastic. And I have to ask you, too, because you just mentioned before about, you know, being on stage and for the theater aspect of things. And I know that, you know, it's such a different vibe when you're doing theater and how the crowd responds. When you are on stage, though, doing, you know, your singing performances, do you ever find it's difficult to get into the mood or are your crowds always ready to go for you?
No, they're not always. You know, it's some experience that some markets you go into are like totally your market. And then there's other people that you're introducing yourself to them because it's like, for one, a new generation of kids that are now listening to Finally. And then it's also like it could be a place where like you're on the bill with somebody else and it's more their market than your market. So it just depends. So it's good for me, though, as an artist because it keeps me on my toes. And I like the challenge. I'll be like, okay, let me see if they respond to this. I'm going to do this, do that, see if they like this. So it keeps me on my toes.
And speaking of this new generation of kids that are listening to, you know, Finally Now, you know, 20 years later since it was released, I find that if you go on YouTube and stuff like that, there's so many remixes of stuff that you've done or people tinkering around and trying to remix it in their own way. What does that feel like for you to see, you know, kids nowadays trying to have fun with your stuff?
I love it because, you know what, it keeps, like you said, it keeps it going. It's like, there are so many people out there, like, you don't have to be blessed for people to be listening to what your creativity is from 20 years ago. Not everybody gets that, and I do. So for me, I'm happy to hear that they're doing it. It's just, you know, I'm getting ready to do my own, though. I'm getting ready to do the 20-year, because it's a 20-year anniversary. With Paul Oakenfold, I've been having talks with him about doing actually a new remix. Oh. For the 20-year anniversary, so be looking out for that.
I'm very excited for that. And I have to ask you, too, I mean, you know, the word on the street right now, and we're so excited, is that you've just released a brand new single called Stupid. Can you tell us about that and also tell us about, I think the great news is that you've signed a record deal, and I'm hoping and waiting for this new album of yours.
Thank you so much. I just recently signed a deal in February. Really excited. Stupid is the first single that we did off the album, and it's like Stupid, but it's called You Must Really Think I'm Stupid. And it was kind of like a little anthem for all my girls, again, like my 2011 Keep On Walking to all the women that I love. And so it was like I was sitting around talking to my girlfriends. You know, you're in conversation, and it's like, you know, hey, blah, blah, blah. Dang, I shouldn't have called. I should have waited. Dang, I feel, oh, he must think I'm stupid. Like, you know, or then you have the other one like, oh, girl, he must think I'm stupid with the other attitude. So I was like, huh. And I say it, and I'm like, you know what? I was like, how can I make this a song, not make it sound like I'm male bashing, but make it sound like fun? And so that's what everybody's hearing now on iTunes is the song that they hear now, Stupid.
And then what can we expect to hear from the album?
The same kind of vibe, but I would say in a dance vein. I'm going to put some more dance mixes on it because dance is so hot right now. But I'm also going to do some stuff for the people that like some of the older stuff that I did. Not where it's going to sound dated, but where it sounds like that CC sound, but what's currently on radio now, okay, musically and production-wise.
And when can we expect to see this album drop?
I would say the end of August, beginning of September.
So are you still in full-on recording mode now, or have you done a bunch of it?
Right now, I've been doing a lot of traveling, actually, and I haven't been in the studio, but I'm getting ready to get in the studio again after this week because I've been moving so much. In fact, I just got back in town from Santa Cruz. I was in Albany. I was in L.A. I'm getting ready to go to London on Thursday. So I've really been moving around a lot. But I work quick in the studio, so it's, like, not a problem. I work really fast.
Oh, that's excellent. Because I wanted to ask you about your process in the studio. Like, if you know, because I've interviewed other singers and even producers, and sometimes it depends who the vibe is, and the person will either need to take more time, or they are such a perfectionist that they want to do several takes. So your process is to go in and bang it out.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm also a perfectionist. It's a verbal in me. So it's like I work quick in the studio because I know what I want to hear. Most of the time, I've listened to the song prior.
Okay.
So I know kind of like what I want to put where, and if a note is off, they don't even have to be like, hey, do it again. I'll be like, reel it back. Nope, reel it back. Oh, that's good. Okay, let's go to the next part. I already know how to, you know, put it all together along with the producer.
Okay. And can we expect, you know, videos from this new album? And I guess also, are you going to tour and come and see us?
Oh, absolutely. I'm working on some videos, video stuff right now, some conceptual stuff right as we speak. So absolutely. And yes, in Montreal, I would love to. You're in Montreal, right?
You got it. We love
yeah,
for you
I
to
would
come
love
up
to.
Here.
In fact, Montreal is one of my favorite places.
Oh, excellent. We love you up here. We still play your jam, so we're happy to have you come up here.
Thank you, girl. I'm ready to come back. It's about time. Remember, we went to one of the clubs up there, and we had such a great time. Girl, I didn't even get to bed till like 6:35 in the morning.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait.
We were up so late.
I can't wait for you to come here. And I guess, too, I have to ask you this because of the fact that, you know, this is your first full-length album since 96's I'm Moving On. What's the experience been this time around, CeCe? Because, you know, you've stepped away, I guess, from full-length recording for a while. Are you enjoying it more this time around?
You know what? I'm more of a free spirit. I don't know what it is about where I'm at you know, in my life now. I think some of it is age. It's like I'm cool with being totally myself. I'm cool with people asking me, like, questions. I mean, I'm like such a free spirit. It just feels good. So I don't feel so restricted in my creativity, I think, like before. Because, you know, before I would say in the 90s, it was about your mystique. It was about, like, what people didn't know about you. Now, if they don't know anything about you, they're not interested in you. Like with reality TV, with YouTube, with, you know, magazines and articles and video and everything. It's like if they don't know who you are, it's like the more trouble you get in almost, it's like the better for some people they can get away with that. But people, like, have to know who you are. They want to know about your life, which is different from where I came from before. So for me, it's very freeing. It's cool.
And speaking of...
That was one of the reasons... I'm sorry.
No, I just... And speaking of that, I guess my question would be as well, social media, because it feels like social media right now is so important to anyone that's trying to get their message out. And I know that, you know, I follow you on Twitter. I know that you have a Facebook account as well. What does it feel like to be, I guess, in close contact with your fans that way? Because as I mentioned to you sort of before, you actually answered me back a couple of weeks back on Twitter and it made my day. And so I can imagine that if you are answering some of your other fans and they get, you know, direct messages to you, like, what does that feel like?
It feels great, actually. I'm cool with it because it's like, you know, you create a little bond with the people that's on your Facebook page, and you find out how supportive a lot of people can be, especially like career wise. I have a lot of people giving me a lot of love. You know, there's a couple of people that be doing the most on the Facebook. Of course, you got to have those people.
Uh-huh.
But that's what makes Facebook interesting, and I love it. They make it more interesting sometimes, reading what the hell they're doing than what I'm doing. So, I mean, I enjoy it either way. But yeah, I like the close contact. It makes it easier.
Okay.
I mean, you don't actually have to have a phone number. You know what I mean? You can just still keep in contact with people.
That's amazing. And I guess, you know, things are moving so quickly in this day and age. I think before I would have asked you, you know, what is CeCe Peniston going to be doing in the next 5 years? But I think I need to ask you what CeCe Peniston going to be doing in the next 18 months to 2 years.
Working on continuing to be out performing my new album because it will be out by that time. Definitely, continuing to evolve as a person. I don't know what God's going to bring me, but I also want to do some more acting, so I'm looking into doing that, and I'm going to wait and see what happens from there. I've been taking, in between the time that people didn't see me, I was taking some dance lessons, I was taking some guitar lessons. I'm trying to do some more voiceovers. I had actually done a cartoon, but it didn't come out, but I did a cartoon. So those are things that I'm looking to do more of because that's what I really enjoy doing. I would love to also do Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, good. That would be so awesome.
Girl, that's what I put in the universe is doing Dancing with the Stars. And also, I don't know if you had seen it, but I had also did a makeover in between that time, too.
Okay.
I had I lost 30 pounds, and I had LiPo done. And I let Inside Edition and Us Weekly come follow me, and they showed the before and after makeover.
And how did that feel like with people following you and seeing, I guess, such a personal transformation?
Oh, it didn't bother me. I didn't care. I was like, shoot, that's like getting your damn hair done today. I mean, it's no big deal. And the bottom line is you might as well go ahead and tell on yourself because someone's going to find it and tweet it or Facebook it or blog it or whatever. So it's like the more honest and real you are, I think the more the people respect you and they connect with you anyway. So I really didn't care.
Okay.
And I love the result. It wasn't where I was. I'm not going to lie to you. When I first took the pictures, I was like, oh, shit, they're going to see my flaws. They're going to see this role right here. And I said, okay, CeCe, it's not where you are right now. It's where you're going to be.
Right.
And so that's what kept me doing what I did. So at that point in time, I made a couple of changes. I cut my hair. I got a Monroe. which I love. I'm glad I did it because I think it's sexy. And then I got I did my lipo and lost 30 pounds, and I've maintained my size 6. I was a size 10 before, and I'm a size 6 now, and I've maintained that.
That's amazing. And you know what? I have to ask you, too, with regards to maintaining, how do you feel about exercise? Because I think a lot of us, you know, women especially, we're running around all over the place, and it's hard to make time for ourselves. So have you made a conscious decision then to make time for yourself and take care of yourself?
Oh, can I just tell you, I hate it. I hate it, but I love the result. So, I mean, that's what keeps me motivated. I actually like having a trainer because that makes me a little more accountable. I can do it on my own. But I like someone who's going to kick my butt. You know what I'm saying? I like somebody who's like, uh-huh, what did you eat yesterday? And I try, like, I have two models. Bread is not your friend, and sugar isn't either. So I try to stick with those. But every once in a while, we're human. I have a little something off, but then I have to work it off or be real conscious of my eating, like, days after that, because you can't continue that on a daily basis. It's just not going to work.
Okay. And do you listen to when you're working out, because, you know, you're going to maybe laugh at me, but I swear in my iPod right now, I have about 4 or 5 of your songs that continuously stay in my iPod and do not leave because it makes me finish off that 6-kilometer jog that I'm doing. So do you listen to yourself?
Oh, work.
Oh, yeah. That's my jam, is to listen to CeCe when I'm working out.
Hey, that's what's up. Thank you.
So do you ever listen to your own music when you're working out, or do you need to listen to someone else?
You know what? I hardly ever listen to my music. I know that's funny, but I really don't.
Okay.
When I hear it, I'm like, in fact, someone was in the car and they were playing Nobody Else, one of my songs. I was like, oh, dang, I ain't heard that in a minute. I actually, you're going to laugh. What I listen to when I'm working out, a slow jam.
Really?
I do. I don't know what it is about that. I think it just relaxes my spirit.
Okay.
But I listen to slow R&B music when I'm working out. That's so funny, I know.
That is very different, but that's cool. Good for you. That's fantastic. And, you know, you touched upon it briefly before, and I have to ask you, you know, it's 20 years now since Finally has come out, and there's been so many artists that, you know, could only hope to have a 20-year career like you've had. What does it mean to you to look back, see where you are, you know, were in 91, and to see that you're still going and kicking it in 2011?
Man, I love it. I like, hey, party like a rock star. I love it. I love that. I still love to do it. I'm like always, like I said, trying to, you know, continue to keep my fashion game together. I love it as much then as I do now. I'm one of the people, like, I'm in the car and I'm still singing, like, oh, can they see me? I wonder if they can see me. And it's like, yeah, hello, they can see you. So I still love to do what I do 20 years later. And when I stop loving it, that's when I stop doing it. But
okay.
I'm thankful that I'm doing it, and I'm going to keep kicking ass as long as I can.
And what do you say, CeCe, to young artists out there who are trying to get where you have been and where you are going? Because it just seems like it's such a different beast than it was, you know, 20 years ago. What do you say to these young kids that are trying to get out there now?
I tell them to speak their greatness. Always speak your greatness, because, you know, always speak it and then believe it and thank God in advance, because you know that it's going to happen. So believe in yourself, follow your dreams, and don't let anybody shake your focus. Get an education first, because, you know, knowledge is something that no one can take away from you. But, hey, do what you do in your life, because you never want to look back and say, what if?
Okay, fantastic. CeCe, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's award-winning recording artist CeCe Peniston. Make sure you check her out, www.cecePeniston.com.
Hey, everybody, this is CeCe Peniston, and you're hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show. And finally, it has happened to me.
Are you feeling unfulfilled? Do you think that maybe you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing with your life? Maybe it's time to figure out what exactly is going on. To help us do that is radio host and author of the book, Step Out and Take Your Place, How to Discover and Live Your Everyday Calling, Krista Dunk. Krista, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Now, Krista, what are the signs that you are truly feeling unfulfilled and sort of need to examine your life? Because, you know, sometimes I think people are just overwhelmed and need a break, but how do you know the difference?
Oh, that's a really good question. I can talk about myself. I was someone for a long time who, boy, it's embarrassing how many different things that I experimented and tried and career paths and volunteer opportunities, just really trying to search and search and search for what my place was, what my calling in life was. And if I were to list out everything, all the different businesses I tried and all that, it would be, you would laugh, Kelly, you would just laugh. And at some point, I got so frustrated because I realized I'm just working my own plan here, but I'm leaving my gifts and my true calling on the table. Even though I just wasn't quite sure what my gifts were, what that calling was, I knew that the work that I was doing at that time just was not it. It felt like there was something missing. There was just something missing. There was a dissatisfaction there. And I think a lot of people have that feeling too. Is there more? There's got to be more. I'm missing something. Am I really making a difference? And I think also too, there's some clues when people are maybe feeling maybe even some depression, maybe even some things like midlife crisis where, you know, you're in your, maybe it's somewhere in the 30s. That's where it happened for me. And I was saying, you know, is this it? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I just don't feel like it is. There's got to be more. I feel like I was made for more. And I'm not sure that I'm making a difference or reaching my personal potential. I didn't even feel like I had come even close to tapping my personal potential. So I think those are maybe some signs that people could identify with potentially.
Where do you even begin to sort of sort things out, and are there specific steps to take?
I think there are some specific steps that you can take. For me, I didn't really know what those steps were, however. And hopefully by this book that I've written and the journey that I've taken, it will hopefully shorten the learning curve and the process for a lot of people. For me, I believe that the first step for me was being in that frustrated place and realizing that frustrated place and that dissatisfied feeling came from really not knowing the gifts and call that was on my life. And so I think that's the awareness part that happens first. It's like, oh, okay, I understand why I'm having these feelings of frustration. It stems from the fact that I don't know who I am and why I'm here. And so there are a lot of steps to take. I think the first one is you really have to seek God. He created each person. He created you. And to be searching for, you know, your purpose or your call or your life's mission or a vision for your future, apart from seeking the one who created and designed you, especially for a certain particular work and call, it's going to be another source of dissatisfaction if you're searching away and apart from God, I believe. So that's really, I think, the starting point is to say, I need some help. I need to understand who I am. I need to understand why, God, you have created me and who I am within your plans and your purposes on the earth today.
What happens if you're a person who is not sort of necessarily, I don't even want to use the word religious because I think that's a whole other sort of level, but mm-hmm. Do you need to sort of find faith in something? Or if you are a person of faith, I guess you need to sort of channel that to sort of help you find your path.
Well, I would agree. I mean, for me, you know, I'm someone who is a church-going woman, and even church-going people and things are still, we still have a lot of questions. We still, many of us are unsure of who we've been created to be. Now, I would say if you're somebody who is not sure that God exists and you think maybe we've all
come from monkeys and that, you know, all of that, then maybe this doesn't really matter to you. Because I think then life at that point is random, and that leads into a whole different direction. But when you understand that you are unique, you have been designed with certain personality, with a certain set of natural gifts and talents, when you have certain past experiences that are meaningful, that you've come through and might have some wisdom to share with other people, when you have interests and passions and all of these things going on in your life, you got to take a look at that stuff. And you have to think, this is not a coincidence. I am designed for something specific. I have a certain set of what I like to call calling components at work in my life, and I can make a difference in a certain segment of the population's life. I might be a person who has a heart for, maybe it's single moms. Maybe you have a heart for cancer patients. Maybe you have a heart for teenagers, or maybe it's things like small business owners or things like that. I think there's a certain group of people that each person has a heart for and that we're called to influence and impact the lives in a positive way of that group of people. So there's kind of a lot of things working together that that play a part in what we're called to do today.
Joining us on the show is radio host and author of the book, Step Out and Take Your Place, How to Discover and Live Your Everyday Calling, Krista Dunk. Make sure to check her out at stepoutandtakeyourplace.com. Now, Krista, to sort of, I guess, further along that last point you were making, I feel like it's then maybe important to pay attention to goals and desires that you may have had as a child, because I know in my own situation, you know, since I was really little, I've always wanted to be on the radio. And I think, and I was able to sort of realize that dream after lots of hard work. I feel that I'm fortunate because I don't know if it's just in my character traits, but I never let anything deviate me from that plan. Like, yes, there were sort of side streets, I guess, that I went down before I found my place, but I was very determined to get there. And I feel like there's some people that for whatever reason, life gets in the way. Maybe they found a 9-to-5 job that, you know, it's not great, but it pays their bills and they can live their life outside of work. Like, I feel there's lots of excuses for people to deviate from their plan. But then I feel like maybe on later down the road, they are going to be dissatisfied. So is it important to follow those goals that you've had as a child?
Well, could be. I think in some people's case, yes. I mean, it sounds like you've had a deep desire for a long time for something. And like you said, nothing, no distraction pulled you away from that. So obviously that's something that's very important to you. That's something that's in your heart. And like you said, that's been probably a life dream. And I think there are people who have that. I think that's great. I don't think everybody has that, to be quite honest. I can think about myself as a child, and I remember the first thing I said I wanted to be was a nurse. I actually spent a lot of time at doctor's offices as a young child, having several surgeries by the time I was probably age 8. And unfortunately, I realized at some point that I kind of couldn't stand the sight of needles, so that probably wasn't going to happen. But like you said, there are people who have these deep desires and this vision, this goal that will not go away. But many people they're kind of clueless. They don't have direction, but, you know, they deep down inside, they really want it. So if you're someone who you can think back at, you know, maybe you were 9 or 10 years old and you just have this dream, this goal that just kind of burned within you, that's definitely something to take note of. And especially if it's something that fits with some of the natural gifts and talents that you have as an individual, I think anytime you can go in the direction of what you're gifted at, that's a really good plan. Although that brings up another point too, Kelly, is sometimes we are unaware of our own gifts because we're kind of too close to them. They're not very apparent to us because it's just like, oh, well, can't everybody do that? I mean, it just comes so naturally, you don't really think about it. And so though that's kind of a process too, part of the journey is really digging into the things that come really naturally to you that you're just good at, these natural talents. And that also might take some talking with a few other people who are trusted, maybe mentors in your life, people who've known you for a long time, who have your best interests in mind, who can maybe help you identify some of those things that you might not notice in yourself.
And how do you, I guess, you know, if you are a person who maybe has a multitude of interests, or you might be good at a bunch of different things, how do you start to narrow down, you know, these universe gifts that you've been given, and sort of figure out where you're supposed to be going? And is it, do you have to, I guess, be really sort of paying attention to your internal body? Like, cause I know, you know, cause like I said, even though I've had this goal to be on the radio for years and years and years, there were side streets and it wasn't easy to get where I got. And so sometimes, you know, you really have to sort of hold on to where you think you're supposed to be going. But I knew inevitably when I did get a taste of radio in those early years, I felt very content. And that seemed to be, to me, to be the defining factor that, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Well, I can identify with that when you say, you know, what do you do when you're somebody who has a lot of interests and seems to be good at several different things? That's, I had to really take a look at that in my life. And, you know, I was like, okay, God, why do I have an interest in all these different areas? And that's something I think you should take a look at. You should probably even write them down. What am I interested in? What am I passionate about? What kind of personality do I have? What kind of skills have I learned at different in different educational settings and work settings? What do my natural gifts and talents include? And all of these different pieces of you. And I think this is what I did. And I sat down. I was like, okay, God, bring things up to my memory that I can write down. Because I've always been someone who has been good with, you know, athletic ability, good with written communication, and all of these things. And I thought, wow, this seems really scattered and random stuff. Like, I have no idea how this past dance experience is going to combine with the sign language training that I got in college. You know, I had all these random stuff in my life that did not seem like they should fit together at all. And at some point during my journey, just with, you know, process of prayer, process of self-assessment, of just really trying to seek God and ask. You know, in the Bible it says to ask and you shall receive, and to knock and the door will be opened. And so I think when we are seeking and we're asking and we're knocking, we're going to get some answers. And that's what happened for me. And at some point it became very clear, all these random scattered pieces of who I was came together and all the dots were connected and it made sense. And I had this big, like, aha in kind of in pieces. I probably had like two or three ahas and then it all made sense. And I was like, I see and I understand who I'm supposed to influence, who I'm called to impact. I see what exactly all these pieces of who I am and my abilities. And I think, Kelly, there's a message too. You told me the other day that you have a heart for educating and inspiring people. Mm-hmm. And so that's something meaningful. That's something that's inside of you. And then there's a method by which that can happen. And for you, you said this is a radio job and this radio experience has just been something in your heart for a long time. And so you have a very good platform. You have a good opportunity to educate and inspire people. And in what sort of a way then you'd probably want to take a look at? What kind of message is it that you really want people, you know, because, you know, normally if you're somebody who wants to educate and inspire, you want to make a difference in the lives of others. And then you have to figure, okay, who are these people exactly that I have a heart for? what is the message that I want them to walk away with? And I believe your true calling is really going to be something that God wants to speak to other people through you. It's something that's important to Him. Maybe that's strengthening people's, even just strengthening them in an emotional way, in a health type way. Maybe it's, I mean, there could be all kinds of different things, helping people overcome pain that they've been through. You know, there's so many different things it could be. So hopefully that's helpful. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I guess too, you know, once you have found what you're looking for, no matter what it is, you know, is it a long road, or is it difficult to sort of manifest it? Like, for example, you know, let's say that the life that you're living now is not exactly what you've now determined it to be. And let's say you do have responsibilities that might not carry over to the new life that you want to be living, or it's going to be difficult. How do you go about making that happen? And just to give you an idea, you know, I had a friend of mine, and she sort of has determined that she, you know, likes being in the world of business. Like, it's okay. She's sort of, you know, okay with that. But when she was younger, she really wanted to be a marine biologist. And so if I just sort of use that basis as an example, you know, if she all of a sudden decided that, you know, she did want to go back to being a marine biologist, now it would be difficult for her because, you know, she's in this world of business. She has two kids to feed. Like, how would she go about making that happen?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that is what a lot of people have in the back of their mind, too. Right now, there's probably people who are going to be listening who are going to be in a very similar situation. They're going to say, I have a house, I have a car payment, I got a, you know, I have all these responsibilities. I've kind of built this life on this income that I have from this job that I think, I'm not really excited about going there every day, and I don't feel like I'm making a difference. And that's a reality for a lot of people. In fact, most people, I would venture to say. And I think here's a good thought. When you're in that kind of position, don't let your mindset say, well, never mind. It's just not going to work out. I'm going to just give up on the dream. I'm going to give up on that vision or that calling. I don't think that's what we want to do, because that's going to really, we're going to be in a sad place for a long time if we do that. What we can do, though, is what kind of decisions is your friend going to be making in the future? Can she, with every like life decision, move in that direction somehow? I think once you see, this is something that I really truly believe, once God reveals to you the call and the plan and the work that He has for you, there's a scripture that says a man's gift makes room for him. And I believe that there will be opportunities that will come your way, because if God wants you to do something, he's going to ask you to step out, but He's also going to supply what's needed at that time. And I believe that there will be things that will come up for your friend if that's truly the direction that God would be calling her to go in. There will be things and opportunities that pop up for her. And I think with every life decision, like I said, move in that direction. Don't move further away. I mean, if it's even down to things like, should I buy that new car or should I just keep my old car? And, you know, maybe if I buy the new car, that means I'm going to feel stuck in my job. Maybe if I don't buy that new car, it's going to be, there's going to be some financial wiggle room to maybe make some different decisions, things like that. So just a few hints, just a few things to think about there.
Chris, I just find all of this fascinating. And where can people get a copy of your book?
Well, the best place to go is actually the book's website. And if you can remember the title, the website address is the same. So that's stepoutandtakeyourplace.com. And then also westbowpress.com is the publisher. They have it there. And so does Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So, yep, I would suggest going to stepoutandtakeyourplace.com. There's lots of information there. You can read a little bit more about my story and why I do what I do. And also I have a free newsletter, too, that people can sign up for. And I send out some tips and inspiration and encouragement a couple times a month on that newsletter as well.
That's fantastic. Krista, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly. I've appreciated being on your show.
That's radio host and author of the book, Step Out and Take Your Place, How to Discover and Live Your Everyday Calling, Krista Dunk. And again, make sure to check her out, stepoutandtakeyourplace.com.
Bring on the remix.
And Christina Aguilera with Moves Like Jagger, remixed by Brian Kua, right here on The Kelly Alexander Show. Well, a big shout out to my guests this week, including the amazing Cece Tennyson. She is such an awesome artist and so much fun to talk to. So thank you, Cece, for being on the show, as well as the amazing Krista Dunk. I think she had some great advice, and I'm glad she was able to join us this week. And because I like to leave you in a positive frame of mind, here is your quote of the week from Mr. Derek McDaniel. Impossible is defined as, I haven't figured it out yet. Have a great week. You and I'll chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show is hosted by Kelly Alexander. Produced by Esteban Vargas, Barbara Purcell, Chris Paré, and Kelly Alexander. Original themes and production music composed by Ian Campbell. Thanks for listening.